All right, we are back. I am so excited for the next presentation. In fact, it might be the most anticipation for a session that I've ever had in my entire life because my best friend in the entire world, Georgia Nelson, aka the one and only Fierce Kittens, wow, 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 is here. Oh my goodness.
You did that. Oh my gosh. That's great.
I had to do it. I'm so excited for everything that's about to happen in this session, because you are talking about migrating a WinForms app to Blazor, an amazing and true story of Giftbot, an application that I use personally myself.
Awesome. Yeah, a lot of people do. I'm going to be explaining basically like the process, the retrospective and postmortem of taking this application and converting it from the desktop application into a web application with extremely outdated web tech for my end. Like, my perspective on web was very old. Like, I was probably 15 years out of date when I started to look into this. So I'm really excited to share this information with the community.
Well, I'm excited. So I'll get your screen up and take it away.
Awesome. So, hi, my name is Georgia Nelson. I'm known as Fierce Kittens. I am a partner Twitch streamer. I'm also a partner on YouTube, but it's for sewing content, so don't go looking. It's really weird. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to cover the process that I went through to take this application from desktop to web, because at first I thought it was going to be a very daunting experience, when in reality it really isn't. Thanks to the newer technologies that are out there, I'm able to actually get something done and get something out into the hands of my users a lot quicker than I was able to before. All right, there we go, it's clicking. Okay, so a little bit about myself. I am a professional video game developer. I've been working in games for about 18 years now. I actually have a specialization in client server technology. So web has actually, at least in this format, has spoken to me. It's something that I slid into very easily. Again, I'm a partner Twitch streamer, which is why I have all this crazy equipment and depth of field on the camera. But let's just go right in and start with this. For those of you who aren't familiar with Twitch or bots, I'll give you a little bit of an overview on that because I don't know if everybody is familiar with it, but there actually is a teeming community, not only of live coders, but gamers and professionals and artists that are all over Twitch. So Twitch is a website that was created under the foundation of streaming video game content. And about 4 or 5 years ago, they started to introduce creative mediums. And so I glommed onto that very quickly and discovered that people love memes and torturing streamers. People who are on Twitch want to have an impact on the streams that they're watching. So that's where Giftbot came into play. And I do say GIF, not JIF, thank you very much. But the bot was originally written just to read chat and play an animation on the screen. That's it. It's really simple. Like, under the hood, the whole premise of the bot is kind of crazy dumb. But people love this because they can make an impact on your stream. But here's what I ran into is that the bot is based off of Twitch's API, which is entirely web-driven. And I originally wrote the application in Java with a Swing GUI because mistakes were made and there was enough alcohol in the room to convince me it was a good idea. Then I started interviewing for a role that was primarily C#, and so I rewrote the whole thing in C# with WinForms, so that I could get a little bit of C# under my belt before going into the interview loop, because everybody loves write reverse string in a million different languages, right? So, but now I have ended up migrating it into Blazor. And there were a lot of things that went into the reason for why I had to do that, but largely it's because of the API and other problems which we're going to go over. Now, because of the little AKA quip on here, it will indicate that I came from a C++ background. So primarily anything that I wrote was really like native-ish. It wasn't in a .NET kind of way. So that was a lot of the problems in the very beginning, as I was learning C sharp and spaghetti coding my way through this as I learned best practices. So that's kind of like the beginning of the problems. But then as I got my feet under me a couple years into working on the bot just on the side, that's when we slid into other things. So the first big thing, aside from coming from a C++ background, is that the API that is provided from Twitch is very web-centric. It is basically a series of endpoints that we can hit for data on specific channels and RESTful interactions. There is a pub-sub system that's available for some of the newer events that they serve, but that's like a completely different topic. The biggest problem was really trying to shoehorn this functionality in. Taking a Windows desktop application and trying to make it, you know, talk to websites and behave as a browser so that you could capture it in broadcaster software like OBS or Streamlabs OBS was very difficult. What I ended up doing with this application in the initial release of it was a giant green window that could be captured in broadcaster software and then keyed out. So people would basically have like their animations playing in the horrible WinForms. It was a giant WinForms window and the animation would play on it in a picture box. And it was good times. So, and not terribly performant. So it was another thing that we ran into with it was fine for creative streamers because creative streamers weren't actively using their computers. We were sewing or painting or doing macrame, whatever it is that we're doing in the background and just talking to people. But when you're playing video games, Windows is fighting for what it's going to render. And so it would deprioritize the WinForm application. So you'd get a lot of stuttering and poor performance. Under the hood, GIFBot actually ended up writing, I wrote my own web server with my own endpoints. And I would use XOR requests from JavaScript in order to communicate directly to GIFBot running on a local host. And I mean, it sounds ingenious, but it's really a dirty shoehorned solution for a problem that you know has already been solved in a million different ways. So again, like the Windows-only deployment, and here's an example of what the UI looks like in the original application. So this one was a desktop application. When it get installed, you would run it right there on your PC. And this is actually WPF. I did eventually start converting some of the more heavily used dialogues to use WPF instead because I wanted to have MVVM patterns. But this also meant it was a Windows-only deployment because I was using Windows UI libraries. And it also meant that iterating on the UI was a lot longer. If I wanted to add something new, it was add a new dialogue, now add the menu for it. And it was, I don't use the WYSIWYG, you know, editor that's provided in Visual Studio. For XAML, I prefer to write my own XAML. So maybe that's a me problem. But it definitely was a longer iteration time for me to add new features to the product. And it eventually got to the point where trying to add the new features was taking probably 4 or 5 times longer than it would in a properly architected scenario. I did go back and try to re-architect things to isolate certain bits of code, to write some libraries that didn't necessarily have to be part of the actual presentation layer within WPF. But it just, at the end of the day, it was all spaghetti code and needed to be set on fire. So again, like with the maintenance nightmare, here's the dialogue that's the animation manager. Which any users of GIFBot who may be listening along are very familiar with this older dialogue. This is what I mean is like on a web page, for example, if you add a new field, great. The web page gets longer. You get a scroll bar. In here, it just wasn't set up correctly. That was one giant control. And again, just a complete and utter maintenance nightmare, you know, to add features to this. There just wasn't enough money in the world to make me continue working on this. But again, like I was new to C Sharp. I didn't know what I was doing. I was learning, you know, combat style. Like I was just like thrown into it, and I just wanted to make sure I understood what the keywords were. So if I got asked a series of really dumb questions in an interview, I could answer them. I basically ended up tiptoeing and what I say, the clever hacks to get that web-based API supported. Let's pop into the solutions. So here I am as a somewhat seasoned C# engineer. I've been working on it professionally for about 4.5 years now. And I was looking for a JavaScript-free solution. It's a thing in my Twitch channel. We just don't like JavaScript. But going into it, and this is mostly Jeffrey Fritz's fault. He kept pushing Blazor and kept talking to me about it. And one day I was like, okay, you need to tell me about all of this because my knowledge of web development is severely outdated. Pretty much the last time I touched anything web was probably back in 2005. And it was PHP, JavaScript. And now I'm going to sound old. But now when you look up like, okay, what do I need to do? What do I need to learn to get up to speed in web, to make interactive websites, to make a proper web application, not just, you know, a blog. It's basically a laundry list of technology that you need to pick up. And, well, what JavaScript libraries am I going to need? And what kind of server do I need? Is it IIS? Is it Apache? It can be overwhelming. And so for those of you who may be considering migrating applications to web, because in the world that we live in today, we need more accessible applications. We need to be able to get our tools into the hands of the users in a way that's conducive to the way that they work now. And web can help with that. And that's where Blazor comes in, is because it was very simple for me to take my core libraries, which were already written in .NET Standard, and move them over to work with Blazor. Because everything top to bottom is C#. So the other thing is like you can self-host it. What I wanted to do with the application is because of the size of the files that some people have. For example, there is a gentleman who will be unnamed that has a 600 megabyte movie file that he plays. And it's a cover of Africa by Toto. So that's, as you can imagine, it's not something that I could say, yeah, I'm going to pay to host that for you. And it's going to stream down very slowly to OBS. So this application had to be something that could be installed and run locally and to be a lot more user-friendly. So that's when ASP.NET Core and Blazor came in. Of course, now we have 5.0, and I have actually, and it is running. I will show you in a bit. Bot is now in .NET 5. So the appeal for me was a C# top to bottom. They had the self-hosting option. So basically when they run it, it's running in Kestrel. And there are already a number of off-the-shelf component libraries that are available out there. And I am actually using the Telerik Blazor UI components quite heavily throughout my application. The other thing is, like, the patterns were so similar to developing WPF that it was basically going from doing XAML to doing HTML with some you know, at symbols and variables in there. I mean, there was data binding already. That you can split the code in partial classes. Just the patterns overall were so much simpler, and iterating on it has been so much faster for me. I can't tell you how much I enjoy it, and we have a number of memes in my channel that express the enjoyment. I'll let you guys tune in sometime for that on your own. So So when I nailed down the technology that I was going to go with, I needed to take a methodical approach. More or less what happened with the first iteration of GIFBot in its Java WinForms, WPF phases, was I just said, yes, I'll do that feature. Yes, I'll do that feature, and not plan and get the core architecture settled, and then build on top of that. I needed to take an actual software engineering approach. I talked to my heavy users, the ones that loved GIFBot and were monetizing their streams from it. I gathered their input. I made a Trello board for my personal project, guys. That's pretty crazy. But the point was to gather all these requirements and have a proper process to it so that I didn't mess up. So I had that forward path to look forward to and understand what steps I need to take with the architecture to get from point A to point Z, right? So the other thing was like UI. You know, if I'm going to do this all over again, how am I going to make this more intuitive? And one of the top things that came to mind was like usability and getting the bot actually up and running. 9 times out of 10, when people would pop into my Discord server and ask me for help or email or stop in my channel and scream, oh my gosh, I need help, was because they didn't even know how to set it up. They couldn't get their accounts hooked in correctly. The whole thing was just wrong. And again, that's because it was a desktop application that was driven by a web-based API on Twitch. So I couldn't do reroutes for OAuth. And even OAuth 2, once they started adding that. So authenticating and giving permission for my bot to even talk to Twitch for someone's account was something that was like, great, I'm going to forward you to a web page, copy and paste this key, and put it in this text box in your dialogue. And for people who aren't very tech savvy, that was a lot of steps. And it was just really difficult for them. So I wanted to take a more wizard approach to this, to walk new users through it, to give them a tutorial, and get things up and running. And I would like to say that is one of the most successful things about the next step, the next release of GIFBot, is that it has been so much easier on my users because I was able to very easily just by having a switch statement on a state in the Blazor page, Razor rather, on what state they were in, as opposed to now I have to create all these dialogues and I have to show hide these dialogues and I have to manage the state, you know, all these different things I'd have to do if this was a WPF application, like if you were to pick the hardest way to do it. So, but the other thing is no hacks. I don't want to hack anything in. Everything's got to be done the right way or I'm not going to do it. So the high level solution. So I am heavily using SignalR because I need bidirectional communication. So there are endpoints, traditional endpoints, and I have controllers on the server side. But primarily I need that two-way communication because actions that are on the front end that the user is sending to the back end, I also then need the back end to say, hey, front end, you just got an alert so it can play, or at least let the user know, hey, this happened, because there's a dashboard that has logs. But the endpoint controllers are mostly used for things like uploading files or doing a cursory check against the data to make sure I can actually do the thing that I want to do, like editing something. So there's no data clashes. Again, user friendliness. You know, if you already have an animation with a certain command, then you want to warn somebody, hey, you now have a duplicate of that, as opposed to just going, well, I hope they figured it out because it'll play the wrong one, because that's what happened before. And again, heavy use of Teller Blazor UI, got to give them a major shout out. It's so easy. There's things I don't have to worry about. I'll show you the grid. It's a thing of beauty. So user friendliness. So this is, again, what happens when you don't go with a programmer UI. And I know some of you must be giggling on the inside because you know it's true. We all do it. we go in thinking this is how the user is going to work, and then they mess it all up and you realize, no, you're going to have somebody that's going to click that button and it's going to ruin everything. I have users of all levels of tech savviness to help me iron those things out, because I go in with preconceived notions of how the feature I write is going to be used, and it almost never ends up being the correct way. So this is how it started. So I've gone through and I've shown you guys some of these dialogues before, so I won't dwindle too long on this slide, but just so you can see, it's a hot mess. It really is. I mean, I'm still proud of the little buttons with the folders and the cancels, but other than that, it's pretty bad. So SignalR, allowed for the bidirectional communication. So I was able to give feedback, immediate feedback to the users, and to basically like send down data and send back an immediate response, pop up alerts to let them know, hey, you know, you did something wrong, or yay, that's saved. Just the little things, just giving them confirmation dialogues, progress dialogue, you know, little progress bars and stuff, really is helpful. It's the funniest thing is like you can add a progress bar to something and people will think you're a wizard. They really will, because it gives them the feedback that they need to know that the thing that they're doing is working. But the other thing is I also stream large amounts of data. As you can imagine, there are some people who have 5 animation commands and others who have 500 animation commands. I won't go into that. But I have to stream the data. And again, the Telerik controls really help with that because the grid actually has virtualization built in. But I also wrapped it with a repository pattern. So I could query based on like, okay, so I'm on page 10 and I need 20 records and only display that and only fetch that instead of setting up all 500 animations in one giant packet, because that's never good. So for the Blazor components, man, I sound like a shill, but Blazor UI by Telerik. There's a little money dollar sign going. Seamless interaction with the largest data sets, again, by querying the back end to get that information. And it led to a much less frustrating experience. It's very quick. It's very responsive. I'm able to quickly query the data and sort it and filter it. It's awesome. I love to be able to do these things. And I know I could have done these things in WPF. I'm not saying that you can't. I'm just saying it would have been a longer haul for me to rewrite these things. And again, try to shoehorn web-based APIs into, an existing, like a desktop application. It just didn't seem right. It's, you know, it's like, you know, putting lipstick on a pig at that point. That's how it felt. So I thought it was time to stop. So when you install the tool now, when you install it and run it, the first run, it immediately courtesy launches your local host to show you the application. And it detects that you are a new installation and it immediately walks you through authentication. There's easy to read text, so you know what it's doing. It prompts you. You go through authenticating with Twitch. It sends you right back to the page with the information and automatically has it. So I could get rid of the sites that were like, okay, great, here's this really long authentication code, copy and paste it, but also include this blurb test in the front. You know, it was just clunky in the old tool. And now it's very smooth and it just runs people through. It's very, very user-friendly and less error-prone in the past. And again, like I had said that I basically had a switch statement. I just made a state machine with the Razor page to say, well, if this is my state, I want you to display this. Okay, now move to this and this. And so I could persist that state and display the correct thing. And like if somebody closed it down on accident and reopened it, they'd be put right back into the state that they were in. So that made things a lot easier when getting set up. The other thing is like intuitive interactions, things that I really should have done in the WPF application, but really didn't want to do for some reason, is just didn't have the willpower anymore. And when code gets spaghetti like that, it's palpable when you feel it. You're like, I don't want to touch anymore. Please don't. And you end up in the fetal position. So I had a lot of things like showing, hiding the UI, using tabs liberally, you know, reducing the friction in the interactions, making it so that it wasn't a slog for somebody to go and set up a new animation. There are still things I want to improve on as I get new components delivered to me through Telerik. So it allowed me to organize the workflows and to make this whole thing just less of a pain to use, because the old application was such a pain, such a pain. So this is how it's going. And I'm going to actually show you this. This is GIFBot. This is what it looks like now. Instead of having that control window, this tiny window that would sit on your computer with a giant green window that you'd have to green screen capture in your broadcaster software, now you have an interactive web page. And the animations editor is just so cool. So actually, let me bring the bot up. Where'd you go, bot? There we go. And I'll just increase the size like this. So you can see here, I have an output log, and this actually shows, oh, hey, thank you, new followers. How art thou? This actually has all of the logging, all of the output with timestamps. And this is where users can like make sure, okay, well, if the animation didn't go off, why didn't it go off? And then there's a quick control panel over here with the animations, and you can press the buttons and it will trigger. Now, it's not going to play on my screen, but this bit boing is basically a little potato that goes boink like that. And it always makes me giggle. It's the dumbest thing. You know, and you can filter it. So I have Figment like that, and then Figment will show up there. So, and of course this panel needs some work. This is an older component that I don't want to use going forward, but it does everything I need to right now. Going into the animations panel, this is one of the sections I definitely want to rework coming soon. But one of the biggest things that users really weren't enjoying, let me see if I can get a better animation for this, was there was no way to actively like move and preview your animations. It was basically like, okay, I'm gonna dial in some settings for the width and the height and the X and the Y for, you know, top and left, and play it and figure out where it is, which really sucked if you were like a stationary streamer and you sat in one spot and you wanted to do things like have a wizard hat show up over your head. So yeah, this would allow it to be actively moved. I do see we're a little tight on time, though. I apologize. I think I rambled a bit much. Are we okay to continue?
So we just have about another minute or so. What you got for us, Fierce?
No, I want to make sure people ask questions. I forgot to set a little, like, hey, shut up alarm.
No, you're great. Okay, so we have right now Pipe Tabor, who's been in the chat, I've been noticing as well. You know, when you started your migration from WinForms to Blazor, like, where would be like the best part or best path to go? Like, do you have a recommended guide, or is it just choose your own adventure?
No, definitely try to move the business logic out of your UI and into libraries. So I had started making that move even before considering moving into Blazor and doing that migration. And so for me, it was fairly seamless. All of the behavioral aspects and the underlying business logic of the bot itself were in separate libraries. So I had libraries to handle animation data and bot settings and the actual connection to Twitch. So all of those things I pulled away, and so that they could be plugged into whatever UI I wanted. And I will say, I hands down basically rewrote my bot to feature parity, untested heavily, right? But within a week.
Oh, cool.
So nice. We're talking probably 3.5-4 years of code that I rewrote in 1 week, because I pulled all of that logic out into core libraries. And I made that clear separation. Like, here's my UI, and its only purpose is to serve the data backend.
Got it. Very cool. Last question really quick here. Let me bring it up. Is, you talked a lot about Telerik controls. Did you try any other controls? I know Syncfusion, DevExpress, Scrape City, they all got some. Did you check out some other controls?
I have not, unfortunately. Aside from Radzen, which is free, I will say with full disclosure, I have been given the Telerik license. I did not pay for it. So that's another big factor.
cost. But free stuff's good.
Free stuff is great. Yeah, especially personal projects that you don't get paid for.
That's the best.
Right? Yeah. But actually for my full-time job, which I don't talk about online for private reasons, we have been evaluating DevExpress.
Very cool. Awesome. Well, I do see that there is a horde of Baby Yodas coming your way. Now that we've zoomed out over here. Oh my goodness. Well, thank you, Georgia, AKA Fierce Kittens. You should follow her everywhere on the internet, especially Twitch. Basically just go to Twitch. I love everything that you're doing. And thank you so much for the awesome presentation and keep making Giftbot awesome. I love it. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
All right.